So as we move into our teaching time, our title that we've chosen is How to Live a Godly Life Amidst Adversity. And just in case you think we've forgotten to do some more singing, don't worry. We have decided to weave some songs into our teaching time, and so we'll get there. Please be patient.
So, have you ever felt like you weren't getting a fair shake in life? As you looked around, it seemed like everyone else, especially those that don't even acknowledge God, were doing so much better than you.
Maybe you felt like you had done everything right. Faithful morning devotions and prayer times, attending and volunteering at church, even VBC, regular and generous tithing, being kind to that annoying neighbor, sticking to the speed limit, and not cussing when someone cuts you off in traffic, or you can fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You're not alone. This feeling of unfairness or injustice is as old as Cain and Abel themselves, and it is also one of the many themes expressed in the book of Psalms. Our chapter today is no exception. Look how it begins.
Yeah, so if you've got your Bible or device, I encourage you to turn to Psalm 37. These first two verses, I neglected to give them to Carrie, just my mistake, so they're not on the screen. So it's old school. Find the chapter 37 of Psalm, and with the first two verses, and they go like this, reading from the NIV. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away.
So did you catch David's complaint? It's not fair that others, those evil people, get all the breaks. But look at his opening words. Do not fret.
Yeah, how many of you have used the word fret this last week? No takers. It's not a word that we use a lot. It's not common. So what does it mean to fret? Well, the Hebrew word literally means to grow warm, to blaze up, or to be angry and incensed. I like that blaze up. Have you ever seen someone get really, really worked up? That's fretting. In modern language, it really means to be in a constant state of anxiety or frustration over something or someone. And think for a moment about the last time you blazed up or got angry. What was the circumstance? Did it make you feel better or solve the problem? Probably not.
Psalm 37 is considered a wisdom psalm because it is designed to teach the reader some important principles for life, similar to a proverb. It was probably written later in David's life, a clue that we find in verse 25, where it says, I was young, but now I am old. He is encouraging God's people to trust in God's justice and timing, rather than being consumed by envy, anxiety, or blazing up in anger over the apparent success of the wicked. Verse 25 concludes with David's statement, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. This theme is repeated again in verse 28, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. In other words, don't worry, in the end, God is going to bring about justice and make everything right.
So how do we relate to God when we're in the midst of fretting and worrying? How do we handle those low points in our life when things are not going the way we want? Or when it seems like those around us are getting all the breaks? We want to share a little bit of our story in this regard, specifically our journey from about 2016 to early 2019, to help you see how this sermon is really for us and from the testimony of our walk through adversity during these 3+ years.
So going back, in September of 2016, while we lived in northern Alberta, we got the difficult diagnosis that Daryl had prostate cancer. We went into survival mode with uncertainty hanging over us, and where we daily had to actively work at keeping fear at bay. In January 2017, Daryl had his surgery, followed by weeks of recovery, and we were delighted in March that year to hear that he was cancer-free, and life went on.
But then in September of that same year, we were devastated to learn that my cancer had returned, and which meant driving 4.5 hours every week down to Edmonton for 33 radiation treatments. So that fall was definitely one of unrest, where we learned to lean deeply into the Lord for his strength and for his guidance. And it's also when we began to have some serious discussions about our future. Things were taking a toll on me physically and mentally, as well as Maureen's job was getting cut back and changing from how she had known it. But the thought of a big change was really scary for us.
We are so grateful to say that in February 2018, we finally heard that Daryl was cancer-free again, and he has remained clear. But during that winter, there had been other changes as well. Daryl's mom was losing her eyesight and had to stop driving, and there were some aging challenges that made it necessary to move her to a care facility soon. Then my mom had a serious accident where she fell in a parking lot and got run over because the driver couldn't see behind when he was backing out.
It was becoming clear that our parents were needing more support, and of course we wanted to be there for them. It's a very different time of life when we as kids need to start looking after the parents, as some of you have already experienced or are in the process of. So we decided in March that we would both hand in our resignations and with the intent to move back down here to the Lower Mainland. We didn't know what things were going to look like moving forward, and there was lots of uncertainty and some fear. And so we called out to God over and over again, asking for his help, for his strength and his guidance. And he gave us this psalm that we're going to walk you through a little bit about this morning.
In May that year, our house sold, and I got a job offer from Abbotsford Christian School to teach grade 2, my favorite grade. And the contract turned it out to be the identical pay to what I was getting in Alberta. These were great blessings.
Yeah, so in June, another big thing happened. Our closest neighbor lived right beside us, and a dear friend passed away suddenly. And this was just literally before we were moving, and it hit us hard. There was sadness in leaving, sadness in grief, and I was feeling particularly weary after treatments, and the adversity just felt heavy and overwhelming. So Maureen had to stay back to finish teaching. I drove the U-Haul moving truck down here to Abbotsford and began looking around for housing, but quickly became discouraged that there just didn't seem to be anything that was suitable for us and fit within our budget. Until I drove down the hill, Watcombe Road, and into the complex where we live now. And as soon as I drove into that complex, I felt this peace. And I called Maureen. I said, I think I found where we're going to live. And we've been there 7 years. What a blessing.
In August 2018, we moved in. I started work, and we began attending Mountain Park Church. This church, in a very short time, ministered to our hearts and extended friendships that touched us deeply and helped us to heal from those hard years. It was this summer we also got Daryl's mom, who lived in Langley, into a seniors living arrangement after selling her townhouse.
Mm-hmm. And it's not in our notes, but I do want to say thank you, many of you that ministered to us, particularly to me. You don't know what those first 4 months here did for me personally in the healing of my soul, so thank you. But then in November, our son Timothy, who had almost completed his aviation program in Prairie College, got really sick. And he had been having some kind of symptoms over a number of months, but got seriously worse one night and ended up in the hospital and was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 19. Now, because I wasn't working yet, I was able to fly out the next day to spend some time with him in the hospital, help him with his recovery, and until he was released. We almost lost our son Timothy that night, and we were so grateful to God to still have him with us.
Mm-hmm. That fall, 3 different people over 3 different months mentioned South Langley Church to us and a vacant position they felt Daryl would be a good fit for. But Daryl wasn't ready. He needed more healing, and so we brushed off those interactions. It wasn't until God had finished a season of healing in Darrell that the Langley Church phoned officially and offered him the community life pastoral position, which he then accepted and started in January 2019.
So that's why we were here a few months and then we disappeared on you. And then like a bad penny, we came back. And here we are. So that's a bit of our story from those years. Some of the ups and downs. And maybe you can relate to some of what we've shared. Just a little snippet. We left out a lot of details. And we don't want to presume that none of you have experienced similar things as well. Because we know that's part of life. And how do we deal with these uncertainties, disappointments, and frustrations? We also don't want to leave you without hope that there is no solution. And neither does David. And so in verses 3 to 7 of Psalm 37, he outlines four ways that we can overcome our adversity and to live a godly life. And it was these five verses that God used in our lives to help us through those difficult 3 years. And it became known to us as the TDCW program or plan.
We're still learning it, apparently.
Trust, delight, commit, and wait. And we had to remind each other of this plan and pray into it many times over those 3 years and even now.
So I'd like to read those verses, if you'd like to follow along, verses 3 to 7 of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes.
So let's dive in and see how we can overcome adversity in a godly way. So I'm going to call these, we're calling these adversity busters. So here's adversity buster number one, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So what does it mean to trust? Well, it means to be confident, to be secure. So, Dave, do you trust that chair to hold you? He does, as the rest of you are sitting on chairs. I don't think you checked it out this morning to see if it's somebody had cut through the leg or not, but that's what trust is, to trust something, in this case the chair, to hold me because it always has. And just to be clear, there is a difference between trust and faith. Trust is more tangible and observable, which is often based on some past experience or evidence that we can see, whereas faith is more unseen. It's believing something without needing proof.
We say, just trust God, sometimes a bit flippantly. But what does that look like? Part of that is reviewing Scripture and reminding ourselves of all the times God was faithful then, and then reminding our hearts that he is faithful still, saying, because God, you are love, you are faithful, we choose to trust you and not just worry.
So for us, it was reminding our hearts of God's faithfulness as we moved up to Grand Prairie, Alberta, 21 years earlier, and all the many details that fell into place. And that would be another whole 20-minute explanation, which we won't give you this morning. But we saw God work in miraculous ways to move us from my youth pastor role at South Langley Church up to Northern Alberta to the Bible College. And so we knew his provision then, and we knew that we could trust him for that now when we needed to move again.
David's trust was in the Lord, and in the many times he experienced God's protection and intervention. It's that kind of trust he is inviting us into, regardless of the circumstances or the pressures that we feel, or how unfair life seems to be. We certainly felt the pressures of everything we were dealing with over those 3 years. We're sorry to say that sometimes there is a bit more fretting than freedom at times.
So what makes you feel safe and secure? Is it your bank account or your financial investments? Your job or your career? Your family or friends? Your health or happiness?
What or who are you putting your confidence in? What would happen if that became shaky? Would it rock your world, your trust in God?
But there's a second part, if you look at verse 3, that we can't ignore. It simply says, do good. What does David mean by this phrase? Does he mean that if we do good things, the bad will go away? We won't have any problems? No. This is the practical part of trusting. Even in the midst of adversity, we can look beyond ourselves and serve others.
Another way to look at this is, rather than sitting back and complaining, why not put yourself to good use by doing good? This kind of attitude can change how we view our adversity. How do those around you view you? Is your presence a blessing or a curse? Not just with your family and close friends, but with neighbors or the slow person in front of you in the grocery line.
Listen to what Paul has to say about doing good in Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So there you see, a blessing that comes from doing good to others. So we want to invite you to sing with us a song together, a song of trust, and invite you to stand with us, please.
Number 2. Delight in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 4. What does it mean to delight? To find joy, contentment, true inner happiness. Another way to describe delight is to ask, what do you take great pleasure in? According to David, what or who should be the focus of our delight? Yeah, the Lord, God. When our desires line up with God's desires, that is when we experience true delight.
And notice that the word delight is a verb. Did you see that? Which means it's an active choice rather than a passive feeling or reaction. According to author Rhonda Stope, true delight in Him causes us to take our sights off what we want in order to long for what He desires. The idea behind this verse and others like it is that when we truly rejoice or delight in the eternal things of God, our desires will begin to parallel His desires, and we will never go unfulfilled.
How do we practice delight, though, in the midst of adversity? It doesn't feel like delight, does it? The key is found in keeping our eyes on Jesus, remembering that Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. If my eyes are only on the adversity, I will miss experiencing the light of the Lord. This was a big struggle for us in those 3 years of adversity. Our eyes often got locked onto our problems rather than onto God. But here's one excellent way to overcome this. Practice thankfulness. Just like something happens when we do good in the midst of adversity, something also changes in us when we're able to give thanks in the midst of adversity. That's why many times throughout Scripture we are told to give thanks. It's important, and it actually helps to transform our hearts.
For example, we had many things to give thanks for during my cancer journey. We had people give us food, give us money. In fact, we had enough money given to cover all my travel expenses back and forth. Safety in travel was a big one, especially the one time we were driving back from up to Grand Prairie, and this moose decided to jump out in front of us, and a close call, but God protected us, and we were safe.
We had accommodation during that time in Edmonton, right across the street from the cancer clinic, and nurses and techs who were absolutely amazing. All of these thankful gifts and so many more helped us take our eyes off our adversity and onto the God who was with us and who was providing for us.
Mm-hmm. So look back at this verse. not only is there a verb in there, but there's also a promise that as we delight in God, he will give us the desires of our heart. Now, before you get too excited, no, that doesn't mean God's going to give you that new car that you've been dreaming about. But it does mean that as I align my will with his will, he will supply all that I need for that moment, that day, and for my entire life. Just as Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, not my will, but yours be done. That needs to be our prayer as well. One Bible scholar writes, to receive the desires of our heart involves a righteous pursuit of satisfaction and pleasure, not focused on ourselves, but rooted in a delighted focus upon God. Mm-hmm. Let me read that again. To receive the desires of our heart involves a righteous pursuit of satisfaction and pleasure, not focused on ourselves, but rooted in a delighted focus upon God.
We came to realize that our satisfaction was not going to be in how big a house we would get down here, but in delighting in God's provision of a place for us to live that has been more than adequate for our needs here in Abbotsford. If God came to you today and asked, what does your heart desire? What would your answer be? Would it reflect something earthly or temporary or something eternal and spiritually focused? Let's sing together on the theme of delight. The song is How Can I Keep From Singing? And we invite you to stand with us.
Three, you're following. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Verse 5. So what does it mean to commit your way to the Lord? Well, this is really the next step in trusting. The Hebrew word for commit is actually very interesting. Remember a few weeks ago I said I was a Hebrew dropout, so don't think I know all this stuff. You can read it and find it when you dig into it. But the word in Hebrew for commit literally means to roll onto, as in getting rid of a burden. So if you picture a heavy load being rolled onto a kneeling camel in the Middle East, and then that camel carrying it away, completely relieving you of that burden, that's what it means to commit. We roll our adversity and all that comes with it onto God, and he carries it for us. So what are we committing to God? Well, the verse says, commit your way, which really means the entire direction of your life or everything you have. This is what we are called to as followers of Jesus.
What do you need to roll onto God today? What have you been trying to carry on your own, and it's maybe not working so good? Will you surrender it now?
As we commit our way to God, what does he promise in this verse? And he will leave you all alone. He will what? He will do this. He will do this. Or as another translation reads, he will bring it to pass. What will he do? Well, again, you always look within the context of Scripture. The very next verse says, he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Verse 6. It doesn't say he will take away our adversity and make everything better, but he does promise to reward our commitment.
How do we know this is true? Listen to what Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. He will do this. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you.
Think about those at the right time moments. We experience many at the right time moments in our move here from Alberta. There were just far too many details that came together to call it coincidence. And many of you have also experienced at the right time moments. And they serve as strong reminders, as pillar markers in our spiritual journey with God. He will bring about his purposes to pass in his time. So are you trusting God to act on your behalf and direct the course of your life right now? We want to sing another song on a theme of commit, an old hymn, and we're actually going to roll two hymns together, so just be prepared that take my life and then I surrender all. Please stand again if you're able.
So we're on to our last one. We have our T, D, C, and here's our W, Adversity Buster number 4. Be still, rest before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. The word rest or be still speaks of silence, of not speaking or trying to argue our point or control the outcome. It literally can mean stop. Just stop and trust God for his purposes and timing. One writer says, God is telling us that in order to succeed, we must turn down both the speed and the volume in our lives. In order to be attuned to his will and the way he's working in our lives, we must be better at tuning out the world.
So when the world around us gets loud, God speaks in that still, small voice. Can you hear God when he whispers to you? Do you know how to turn down the speed and the noise in the world and in your own mind? Or do you tend to lean into the distractions, filling every spare moment with anything but spending time with God?
This is the most difficult of the four adversity busters. Why? Because nobody likes to wait, especially if we're worked up or fretting. It's even more challenging. I remember the moment in the midst of our adversity with the move, saying, we've been so focused, we've been trying to do TDC, and we're still getting frustrated because we didn't look at verse 7. We're called to wait. Too.
I remember that moment too. I was not happy with her. I didn't like that word.
He wasn't.
In fact, I'm terrible, and I was back then, I still am at times, but back then particularly, I was terrible at waiting during our move. I can't begin to tell you how many hours I lay awake at night wrestling with my thoughts, telling God how he needed to be working and figuring this out rather than me resting in him. I did not do a good job of turning down the speed and noise in my mind.
So, what can we do? How do we overcome the spiral we so quickly fall into? First, we need to identify the fact that we are actually worked up. Just acknowledge that this is what's happening. And we do. We're built as feeling beings. It's just part of who we are. But then we need to focus our mind on God and his promises to be with us so that we can allow our thoughts to start to, when they run down that well-worn path of worry or fretting, we just discipline them by yanking them back onto the path of peace that God offers us. And sometimes we need to do that over and over and over. Mm.
For us, it meant coming back to this challenge from David to trust, delight, commit, and yes, wait. And sometimes we had to come back to this, as Maureen said, multiple times, day and night. Yes, waiting is hard, but it's in the waiting that God often does his best work of refining us, revealing his strength in our weakness, and strengthening our faith. The most important thing we can do in the waiting is to hold on to what David says in Psalm 46, verse 10, which we weren't here last week, but I believe that was the psalm that Graham and Danny took you through. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, rest, stop, and wait, and know God is God, and he's got you.
Mm-hmm. Where might God be asking you to wait in this season of life? Or where is God asking our church to wait? Do we now feel we have some tools to help us to do that better. Here's the summary of the plan. Trust, delight, commit, wait. We're going to sing one last song together on the theme of rest and wait. So please stand with us if you're able and join us.
Thank you for being part of this service this morning. And if you were here a few weeks ago when I introduced our summer Psalms series, I left you with two challenges. Do you remember what those were? Show up. Thanks. Yeah, you got that one right. Okay, there was three challenges. So one was to read through the Psalms this summer, get as many as you can. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but maybe give me a nod. Any of you doing that? I see some nods and some brave shows of hands. Thank you. Extra crown in your, or star in your crown there, Leanna. Yeah, read through the Psalms. Do you remember what the other one was? Write your own psalm. So a good teacher models, right? And I wasn't going to do this, but when we were up north last week, I was reading Psalm 47, which is a praise psalm. And I just started in my journal, and here's what I ended up with. I want to share it with you as an encouragement. And then if you decide to write a psalm, or if you have already, please send it to me. I won't stand up and read it in front of the congregation, but I would love to read what you've written, because that's your prayer to God. So here's what I wrote last week. Praise to the Lord, our God Most High. Praise him for his mighty power. Praise him while walking and driving. Praise him while on vacation. Praise him for his provision of time away, for the blessing of seeing friends and family. Praise him for the beauty of creation, for the order and purpose to life. Praise him for his unfailing love and kindness, for his mercy, grace, and goodness. Praise him in the now. Praise him for the future, which is in his hands. Praise him for peace and safety, for health, shelter, and food. Praise him for his church and for the people he has brought into my life. I praise him with my whole being. So may that be an encouragement to you. You can do that. And if you do, I'd love to have you send it to me and read. So as we come to the close, let me say a benediction over us, and then we'll be dismissed. And do remember, next week, we didn't get it in the ACE for this week, hopefully it'll be in next week, the instructions for, as Leanne said, a picnic in the park, so we'll have the service here. Rudy is going to be sharing from the Word next week, from a psalm, and Psalm 51, I believe, right? And then after the service, if you're able to stay, there's no pressure, we'll take our lunches and go outside, bring your lawn chair, bring an outdoor game if you want. We've got bocce, we'll dust it off, and we can go out in the field there and just enjoy, hang out some time. And Leanna, is there any leftover ice cream or anything that we could? Ice cream or anything from VBC?
Treats.
Okay, we'll figure that out. But the answer is no, I'm sorry. So
bring your own treats.
Bring your own treats. We'll see what happens. Maybe the Lord will provide. And anyway, it's going to be a very informal time after the service. Bring a little extra food if you can for people that maybe weren't here and didn't get the memo and want to stick around and share our food together. And it'll be just very informal time of hanging out. We don't do a lot of that as a church, so I encourage you to participate. Well, remember that we are God's kingdom people. And as kingdom people, we desire to trust, delight, commit, and wait more fully upon the Lord in adversity and in times of blessing. And may you go into this week with a plan in hand, a TDCW plan, knowing God is with you. So go in peace. Have a great week. I'm going to pray the privilege of being here together as your church family. And we just do delight to be in your presence. We thank you for the good gifts that you give. May you encourage us as we go from here into this week, whatever it brings. We want to give you honor and praise and glory, and we look forward to being back together next week. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.